Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Praise God. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. Man, give them a big shout of praise. They did amazing. Man, amazing, amazing. Thank you, Tom. I always tell Tom he's a comedian. Ain't he funny? Good job, Tom, on those announcements. Yes, you guys heard. Serve week. You might be like, Pastor, oh, I serve every day. But we're talking about coming together as our church, as a body. Our hands and feet together. There's something when we come together and serve. And you just come, and we're going to have it online, and we're going to have daily challenges. If you might be working and you can't serve that day, there's going to be a daily challenge that we as the body of Christ get to go out to our community and just serve and be the hands and feet of Jesus. Let's just pray. Father God, bless this message. Bless us today, God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, we're in Ephesians chapter 2. That's our verse-by-verse Bible study we've been doing. And I always pray, I was praying on the way here, God, let us take your word so serious. I thought about the Bible. I work with a lot of men, and we're bad at this. Pastor, oh, I don't like reading. Well, you got to look at the Bible different. If you're going to read it as the word of God, you got to look at it as it's the word of God. And I promise you, you might get a little bit more reverence on the Bible. It's not just a regular book. It's the God of the universe that created you. These are his words. You have to look at that. Because I read my daily devotions. What'd you hear? I mean, if you can start taking this a little serious in your life, you're going to see, that's when you're going to see God do something great in your life. Because now you know God's will in your life. Now you know God's, well, Pastor, I don't like reading. You didn't listen. Listen to the word of God. Here's the rest of the week challenge. When you pick up this, look at it as the word of God. Honor it and say, you know what, God, as I open up these pages, Lord, speak to me, minister to me. Give me a rhema today, something that will change my life. And I'm telling you right now, God will. That's the God we serve. Amen. Well, let's look at the first chapter. We're in Ephesians 2:1. I love Apostle Paul and the letters that he writes. Here's why I love Apostle Paul, because most of us probably wouldn't love Apostle Paul. He's straightforward. He's blunt. He gets right to the point. He don't sit there and beat around the bush of what he's trying to tell you. That's what I love about, that's when I know the letter is from Apostle Paul. Because he don't just say stuff like, hey guys, we're a sinner saved by grace. No, he explains in these first couple verses. We're going to see in Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 10, if I can even get to 10, verse 10, is that he kind of takes us back a little bit. This first verse that I'm going to read, he's taking us back before we got born again. He's talking to believers. So if you're not a believer, this is going to mean a little to you, and I'll explain it. But he's talking to us to kind of look back and say, hey, you ever heard that saying, don't forget where you came from? A lot of us would love to forget that, and that's okay. But sometimes we don't want to forget where we came from with God. We want to really understand and sometimes go back to the day that we said I do to Jesus. Because that might get you to a place where you start walking with God stronger again. I know me, every time I drive up Mount Vernon, I have to drive by Mary Kay Seminole Hospital. And guess what? It reminds me of the place I gave my life to Jesus. It's a reminder to say, hey, this is where God took you, and this is where you're at, and this is where you can still go. So Paul, right away, let's go to that verse, please. He says, listen to what Paul says. And you were dead in your trespasses and sin. Let's stay right there. Paul reminds us. He's saying, let's go back. And I want to remind you, before you were saved, you were dead. What does dead mean? Dead means you're dead. I just did a funeral 2 weeks ago, and that person was dead. They were not alive no more. Dead means dead. That means before all of us came to Jesus, you were dead in Christ. You were dead. And you know, right now, some of us, we might know people maybe we work with or family members that might look like they have their life so together. But without Jesus, guess what their life is? It's dead. You might be so successful, working so hard and building businesses, and man, you're a CEO, and it might be on the outside looking good, but if you do not have Jesus, you're dead. You're dead to Christ. There's nothing you can do. Because sometimes when we think of, well, I was dead in Christ, that's when I was a drug addict, or that's when I was in prison. No, you could be doing amazing. You can have the most amazing family. Everything could be going so good in your life. But without Jesus, I hate to break it to you, you're dead. So he's reminding us. He's taking us back. He's telling you, hey, I want to remind you. Before you were born again, you were dead. I'll put a few things right here. Listen to this. We were dead to the things of God. And most of us can testify to that, saying, yeah, you're right, Pastor Al. Before I got saved, I did not care about God. I put right here, we were dead spiritually. We were dead spiritually. We were all just a walking dead. You know that program, Walking Dead? That was us. We were a walking dead with just a heartbeat, just existing. But then all of a sudden, we've given our lives to Jesus. Let's look at the next verse, please. We're going to go to the next verse. Verse 3. Let's look at that. Verse 2, I'm sorry. Listen, among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of the flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Look what he's telling us. So he's saying, guys, I'm taking you back a little bit. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging in the desires of our flesh and our mind. And then had nothing to do with godly desires. So Paul's, he's sitting and he's telling this body of Christ, if Paul was here right now, he'd be telling you guys this. Listen, I need you to think of when you first got born again. I need you to think of where God met you, wherever it could have been. You don't always got to be in prison. We think of all the bad kids just... Ben, everything could have been going good, but you just didn't know Jesus. But he wants us to look back. I want to read something to you real quick. There's a guy named Kevin Washington. He wrote a little article, and it was called Don't Forget Where You Came From. Listen to what he says. I love what he says. It's easy for Christians to forget where they came from. I'm not talking about the neighborhood or the city, but the rebellious state you were in before you came to Christ. It's easy to forget the days of living for the world and not just for Jesus. For believers, once we finally put our past behind us, we tend to never want to look back. But listen to what he says. I understand not surrounding yourself with the past temptations or circumstances, but I am advocating for us to reflect on the work of God that he has done in our life. This isn't only for a person to sit in awe of the cross, but it's thankfully for God daily being gracious to you. This will wholeheartedly affect the way we interact with believers and non-believers. Ain't that amazing? So he's not saying go back. He's saying remind yourself sometimes to say, you know what, God, I ain't walking right like I used to. Let me get to a place. That's why I brought this little communion cup. Do you guys even, some of us, I see people take it. I don't even know if they know why they're taking it. Do you know what communion really is? It's the remembrance of what Jesus done on a cross. That's what it ain't just, I was thirsty and hungry. How did they know? No. It was the remembrance of what your Savior did for you. So the next time you go, well, Pastor, I don't like to read. You better pick up a communion cup. You better look back or when you were walking dead and you had no life in you. You were dead spiritually. You had no hope. You had no love. You had no joy in your life and say, oh no, I'll start learning how to read. Oh no, I'll start learning how to pray because now I'm remembering what God did for me. And when you take that communion, I pray in the name of Jesus next time you take communion. Don't just take it. The Bible says that. You just don't take it lightly. You come to a place and remember it. Let it get in your mind. Let it get into your heart to say, you know what, Lord? Thank you for getting beat for me when I was dead and I didn't know you. God, thank you that this bread represents something that you've done for me, God, that you went to a cross for me. Me, I didn't even like you, God. I didn't even want to know you. I used to make fun of Christians. God, this is, you just get saved when everything goes wrong. And then you get that juice that represents his blood. When I talked about that blood, there's healing in the blood of Jesus. There's purpose in the blood of Jesus. There's hope in the blood of Jesus. There's healing in all different ways when you can remember what Jesus has done for you. So Apostle Paul, he's pushing. He don't want to go to the next verses. He's all, you guys can remember when you were dead. You had no purpose. You were just existing. I remember my gospel before I got saved. I just tell people, you just die, and that's it. You're over. Because I believed that. It was a lie from the devil. So guys, we got to remember sometimes right where you're sitting. That's why I came out here. I said, let me pray for worship, because I wanted you guys to come to a place. I mean, I said, that was a nice song. That was a good song. No, saying, God, I'm in desperate need for a miracle. I'm in desperate need for you to do something in my life, God. I've heard many preachers say, when I'm down to nothing, God, you're up to something, God. I'm going to remember what you've done for me. I'm going to remember, God, one time when you healed me. I'm going to remember one time, God, when I was in bondage, God, and you opened up that door. I'm going to remember, God, when you gave me that strength when that Goliath was in my life and you gave me the strength to conquer it. Give God some praise. That's the God you serve. That's the God you need to remember. He said you once were dead, but now you're alive. Every one of us should be able to come in here when there's worship and start praising God and thanking him. Just thanking him, you're alive now. That you were blind, but now you can see. That's the God you serve. If you can't remember that, I don't know what to tell you. You guys know some of the places that you were at that you were dead. You know right now, and not he's not only saying this verse, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, he's wanting you to remind yourself that some people around you, that you do life with, that you work with, that you go to school with, that they're walking dead. They're just existing. And you know, when you get a revelation of that, guess what? There's some areas in your own life that you're saying, you know what, God, I ain't glorifying you. There's some areas, God, help me to speak right, Lord. Help me to love right, Lord. Help me to be a person that can share the gospel and give hope. And that's why we're giving you an opportunity to say, you know what, God, before that serve week, God, there's some areas in my life, God, I'm going to remember you because when that day hits, I'm going to be out in these communities, Lord. If it's that weekly challenge, if it's whatever it is, God, I'm not going to just wear a live like Jesus shirt and live like I don't know Jesus. You better say that's Jesus the gardener if you're out there. I'm being honest. We're going to put on a shirt and we're going to represent Jesus. Amen. So let's go back to that second verse, please. He says, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power. Listen to that. Of the air. The spirit that is now working in the sons, I'm going to keep it right there, the sons of disobedience. You know what that is? He's talking about the sons of disobedience is people that are not born again. Them are unbelievers. Maybe today you're an unbeliever and you got invited to somebody. Maybe they didn't even tell you the truth. They said, we're going to eat, but we got to stop somewhere and you're here at church. I don't know. This verse is for you. This should be an encouraging verse going, oh my God, I didn't know that. I had no idea that I was a walking dead. I had no idea that the power and the prince of the air, and this is a spiritual thing, and I'm being disobedient. I didn't know that. But guess what? Today's your lucky day. Because Paul's telling us what we are before we get born again. Next verse, please. Listen to this. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh. Indulging, you ever indulged in some food? Indulging the desires of the flesh, of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. That's all Paul's doing, guys. Paul is just reminding the body of Christ right now. This is what he's reminding us. Hey, guys, please don't forget where Jesus found you. Don't forget that time when you were broken. And you cried out to Jesus and he intervened into your life supernaturally. Don't forget that day when somebody invited you to church and you came to that altar and the Holy Spirit did something in your life. You never been the same. Don't forget when you were in that doctor's office and you got that bad report, man, and then you were crying out to God and he supernaturally healed you. Don't forget when maybe you were on some drugs or alcohol or something, and there's nothing, you tried everything, but then the day you tried Jesus is the day the chains started breaking off your life.
Or maybe you were depressed and had anxiety and you didn't know what to do and you were living in fear. And that day, he's telling you, don't forget the day that Jesus, the Son of God, intervened into your life. We don't do this just to come and hang out. We do this to hopefully that you get a hold of God so he can change your life. He said, don't forget. I was talking to a friend earlier. I said, have you ever got arrested in a point where the cop says, put your hands up? He goes, oh, yeah. I go, but we come into church with our hands in our pocket for some reason. For a God that died on a cross for us. For a Jesus that got beat and spit on and humiliated for you. When we did not like him, the Bible says, when we were dead and we had nothing to do with that, that we can come in here and you worship like you want. I don't care. You do whatever you want, but I'm telling you right now. I said, Lord, if I could surrender to a cop, I could surrender to you, Lord. I told him that. I'll be at this altar for you, God. I know where I came from, and God, don't let me ever forget today you intervened in my life. God, don't you ever let me forget the blood in your body, what you've done for me. So that's Paul hammering you guys right now, saying, he's telling in the book of Ephesians, don't ever neglect what God has done for you. Don't ever get to a place where you boast and you think it's about you and your strength. Because I'm going to tell you, bless your heart, it's not. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. We've seen Bible stories after Bible stories. Some of those men of God start neglecting God. And all of a sudden, they're falling. But I encourage you, even if you're in a fallen state right now. See, I'm hoping I'm speaking to people right now because not all of us are in the pits right now. Some of us, we're on top of the mountain, and that's good. God wants to help you win victories. That's good. But don't forget who got you to that top of that mountain. Don't forget the journey that God's been taking you on. Don't ever forget that. All right, praise the Lord. Let's look at verse 4. I love this verse. Listen to this. Verse 4. Don't you guys love when it goes, but God? Come on. We should shout for that one, but God. But God healed you. But God set you free. But God, when you were in bondage, he healed you. He healed that depression. He healed that anxiety. He set you free from drugs. He set you free from anything before you were dead. But God, being rich in his mercy. Thank God for God's mercy. I looked up something here. I like what it said. It says human mercy. Listen to what it says. To let someone off the hook or be kind to somebody. But it says this, had a question mark. It says, but human mercy, it's feeble. We can forgive somebody and then hate them tomorrow. That's our mercy. But thank God for Jesus's mercy. The Lord's mercy here, listen to this. I put this right here. It never ends. The moment we get saved, I put right here, his compassion, his kindness, his forgiveness, his love is part of our lives forever. Forever. When you get sealed, I love Pastor Ron's clay thing. It's when you finally get sealed and you're born again. And you know that you are serving Jesus. And when you do fall, guess what? You're still sealed. You might be living hell on earth, but guess what? He's being rich in his mercy because of his great love, which he loved us. His grace never fails. His mercy never fails. His love never fails. We fail all the time. I checked another person this week when they go, but God knows my heart. I go, shame on you. I hope you better not say that if Jesus ain't in that heart. Well, you know why we say that saying? I've learned everybody that ever tells me that God knows my heart is a person that's trying to justify what they're doing is wrong. Let me tell you, the moment you say that, you better hope Jesus is in your heart. I've ministered it before. I said this before. Can God the Father put his head on your heart and hear his son's heartbeat? Because you finally understand his mercy. You finally understand his grace. You finally not only understand his mercy, but his being rich in mercy. You finally understand, man, God loves me, man. I am not who I thought I was. All my strength comes from the Lord. When that heartbeat is of his son, Jesus, regardless if you're in a broken state or, like I said, you're on top of the mountain, that's when his rich in mercy will pour it out upon your life. Give God some praise in this place because that's what God wants to do in your life. Amen. Let's look at verse 5 real quick. Verse 5. Even when we're what? Dead. And our transgressions made alive together with Christ. I love this. By grace, you have been saved. Oh, thank you, Jesus. By grace, we have been saved. I like this verse right here, verse 6. Look at this, guys. We're getting somewhere. And raised us up with him. And listen, you got to catch this. And seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm going to stop right there. He seated us. Do you know the Bible says that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father interceding for you? Spiritually, guess where we're at? We're with Jesus. I'll put something right here. Listen, to sit in a heavenly place is more than figuring out, is more than a figure of speech. It is a spiritual reality for the believer because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. We reap the benefits of Christ from the position that God and Jesus are together. We do. He says, we sit there with Jesus. If that don't move you to surrender all to him, man, I don't know what else is. He wants to do something so great in your life, but it's going to take you going, I do, Lord. I might have kind of changed something here, but it's going to come directly from what I'm talking about, of not forgetting where you come from. I'll put a few things. I've been reading the book of Judges, and many of you know the story of Samson. Let's put up the first verse of Samson. I'm using this as just an illustration because Samson, he was anointed by God. The Bible talks about who he was and why, how he got his anointing. But what happened? He started getting distracted. What really happened, he kind of forgot where he came from. He just kind of started doing his own thing, kind of like King David, anointed, powerful King David, little by little. It's not the big stuff, it's the little stuff, right? And all of a sudden, let me read this to you. Listen to this. I'm just jumping right here. Then she said, this is Delilah. Prior to this, because there's a lot of verses, Delilah kept trying to get out of Samson where he got his strength. And he kept lying to her. If you guys are a Bible reader, read this if you get a chance. He kept lying to her. And she's getting mad. And finally, look what she said. Then she said to him, how can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You have deceived me these three times. He lied to her three times and have not told me where your great strength is. Next verse, please. It came about when she pressed him. God, be careful when somebody tries to press you. Pressed him daily with her words. Doesn't that sound like Goliath? She pressed him with her words and urged him that his soul was annoyed to death. Listen to this. What did he do? So he told her all that was in his heart and said to her, a razor has never come on my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaved, then my strength will leave me and I will become weak and be like any other man. Doesn't that sound like a story that he just forgot where he came from? His vow to God. See, he started getting loose. He just started living loose little by little. The next thing you know, he was deceived. That's like a work of Satan. He was deceived. Little by, because he wasn't telling her at first. Little by little, his strength was, the Bible says it was in his hair was something that, it wasn't his strength in his hair. It was the vow that he made to God where his strength came from. As a child, there's a difference. It wasn't just you cut your hair and you're like, I'm going to lose all my anointing. No. Little by little, he was being disobedient to God. Little by little, he didn't step back and go, hold up, what am I doing here? Let me remember where I came from. Let me remember what my mother told me as a Nazarite, that I was going to get anointed by God. And guess what happens? They did. The Philistines came in and they surrounded the camp. And guess what happens? Yeah, they cut his hair. And immediately the Bible says that he departed, his anointing. It wasn't the hair. He got to a place that he was so disobedient to God. Now, don't get me wrong. He still had mercy and grace, and I'm going to show you that. God still had mercy and grace on him. But God said, hey, man, now you got to pay for your consequences. You stepped away a little too much, but look at this. Look at this next verse. Look at this. Then Samson called to the Lord and said, oh, Lord God. They've already got Samson. They poked his eyeballs out. They had him tied to these big old pillars, the Philistines. They're about to destroy him. Listen to what he said. Please remember me and please strengthen me just this time, oh God, that I may at once be avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And guess what? God did. God's mercy and grace, when God's seen, I hear my heartbeat again. Yeah. And guess what happened? He anointed him. And he gave him that strength. Let me tell somebody, I hope God speak to this person. God's not done with you. You might be done with God, but God ain't done with you. I've learned something walking with God, and I'm speaking to myself. For some reason, we just don't like change. It's part of life. You know why we don't like change? Because change comes different disciplines. Sometimes we want the results, but we don't want to put ourselves in a place to discipline ourselves to see the results. Imagine if all of us just said, okay, everything you say, God, I'm going to walk ahead of you and be obedient. Most of us walk out of here and be like, man, God, that was cool. That was good. No, no. Don't be scared to come back to God. Don't be scared to say, you know what, God? I don't like change, but I'm going to change for you, Lord. Yeah. Amen. I went to the doctor. This just popped in my mind why I keep saying change. I went to the doctor to get a second MRI on my knee. And the doctor said, I walked in there and he took some blood work prior. And I didn't care about the blood work. I go, hey, doc, so how's my knee? Your knee's good, but I got to talk to you about your blood work. I'm like, well, I don't want to talk to you about that. I don't care. Like, I think I'm good. He's, oh, you have high blood pressure? And, oh, I don't like this one. You're almost pre-diabetic. But let me tell you something, what I did. This is what I did. I said, you know what? That's all you had to tell me, doc. I know what I got to do. He's like, oh. I go, next time I come, you won't tell me that. I knew that moment and that time walking out of that doctor's office, there's some things I had to change. That's the same thing with God. Some of you just need to say, you know what, God? It's game time. I got to change. I got to end it. This is it, Lord. I'm going to surrender. I didn't need the doctor to babysit me and call me. And guess what? The doctor wasn't going to change me. It was my choice. He's going to see another patient. Right now, God is saying to some of you right now, just give it to me. Just trust in me. Just believe in me. My Lord, just follow me in my ways. Here's just a few things I got out of Samson. I just threw it down right here. We need to respect the gift and the call and the purpose of God. You need to respect that. When God puts an anointing or a gift or a calling upon you, remember, it's not you, it's the Lord. I'll put it right here. Our gifts can often lead us to a sense of entitlement. That can happen. We've seen it with Samson. We've seen it with King David. When God helps you win the battle, make sure you always give him the glory. Always. God, that was all you. It's you, Lord. God's grace always has redemption. But I put right here, this, you got to hear this. But our choices have consequences. Sometimes our own choices that we make in our life, well, you might still have consequences. But guess what? God's mercy and grace is sufficient in your life. I'm going to be closing right. I'm going to share something. Before I show this video, can you play your music back there? Before we show this video, it's my grandson. He's sitting back there, Roddy Ryan. He's a MMA fighter. And that day, he won the belt. And he surprised me what he said. Because not only did he win the belt, before he stepped into that ring, I watched the video. Some of you follow my grandson. I mean, he's a champion fighter. But guess what? He trains and trains and trains and trains and puts in the work. Before he walks into that ring, some of us, we don't train. We don't train. We don't train. We don't train. And we try to walk into the ring. And guess what? We're running from Goliath. When we could take that Goliath's head off. When we can end it right there, when we know God. And this ain't script or nothing. I just asked my grandson. I go, what were you thinking in that ring? And this is what he said to me. I was crying. This is what he said to me right here.
This is God because this is my good hand, and this is Jesus because this is my other good hand, and then this is myself, and then I win the belt.
Yes, sir.
And amen, God.
Amen.
Here it is. First of all, before he went into the battle, he was trained and ready. He was watching videos of his opponent. He was getting to know who he was going to step into that ring with because he wanted the prize. Jesus offers us the same prize. He said, run this race with endurance. You're going to go through hell sometimes. There's a new song out. Oh, my God. I must have listened to it 100 times. It's called, from Elevation Church, Make a Way. That's all it's called. I just read a few lyrics. He goes, you will make a way with the enemy meant for bad. He'll turn it for good. And you will just make another way, still making ways. With the enemy meant for evil, he turns it for good, and you'll just make another way, still making ways. I love this. Your sickness is for his glory. The trial is for his glory. He's still making ways, right? Let me read that again. Your sickness, your trial is for the glory of God. He says, find great joy through various trials. Quit walking with your head down and pick your head up and say, I'm a man of God. I'm a woman of God. I will not let Goliath beat me no more. Everybody on your feet and give God some praise in this house today. That's the God we serve. But God will heal you. But God will set you free. But God will break the chains in your life. But God will heal that depression. But God will break anything in your life that's a stronghold. You got to learn to start walking with Jesus. You got one shot. This is it. You heard Pastor Ron on Sunday. We just have a little bit of life. Why not give it to God? Why not walk out of here saying, you know what, God, I might not be there yet, but I ain't losing the hope. God, there's going to be a prayer team coming up here. God, I need prayer right now, Lord. I'm going to lay on my face, God. I'm going to say, Lord, help me. Speak to me. Minister to me, God. Your word said, but God's love, his mercy and his grace. Then it goes on to say to me, I got one more part in this song. I love it. It's not just something we've heard about, but it's still making ways. It's not just something I've heard preached about, but he's still making ways. Give God some praise. We thank you, Jesus. Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus. For everybody in this place right now, Lord. God, I pray that everybody, if they're on the mountaintop or they're not, that we walk out of here praising you. We don't, if they're sick, we're praising you. If we're in a trial of life, we're praising you, Lord. Let us walk out of here praising and thanking you, God. Thinking about people that are dead, because we're not, when we're born again, God, we're not dead. So God, I pray in the name of Jesus, touch the hearts of your people. Bless this service, Lord. Bless everybody here today, God. And right now, God, we give you all the glory and we give you the praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. Give God some praise. Love you guys. You guys are amazing. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King.